the world is in darkness. And that, and the Bible also says, you know, that the Word is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our path. And so what's he telling you? You know, when you are in darkness, you know, I think about hunting. I spent a little time in the woods today, and I was thinking about certain stands that I have to get to and how I have to get there and what time I have to leave to get there. And a lot of these places you're walking to in the pitch black. And, you know, I've yet to master being able to walk through the woods in the complete pitch black without some sort of assistance, unless I want to run into things and get smacked in the face, trip and fall, you know. So what I'll usually do is I'll have like a little headlamp with a red light on it or a green light. Doesn't seem to mess the deer up as much. But anyways, I have a light there. What is that for? It's to guide me. It's to direct me. And so here the Bible says we live in darkness, but yet God didn't leave us in darkness. He gave us a lamp. He gave us a light. The Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you know, thinking about that tithing scripture, that's just light for your finances. It's direction for your finances. It's like God saying, here is an opportunity for you. If you want this, here's a light for you. Because a lot of people are in darkness with their, you know, a lot of people are in darkness with their finances. You know, I think about even raising children. I think about the precious words that I've gotten from Pastor Nancy Dufresne and raising children. And, you know, a lot of people comment to me a lot of times about, and no way am I bragging or, you know, saying I'm the best parent in the world, because I'm not, but my kids are respectful, my kids are polite, my kids are obedient, my kids are honorable. Well, the only reason they're that way is because I know how to raise them because of the light of the Word of God. Amen. People say you're blessed, Pastor. Well, it's only because of this. Or faith, you know, you've had great faith testimony. It's only because of the light of the Word. So we thank God for His Word tonight. And as we get into His Word, let's thank Him for it. Let's worship Him and be grateful and pray and believe God for everything we need tonight. Father, help us tonight. We're so thankful for Your Word. Lord, we don't take it for granted. I know that, you know, it could be naturally mundane or repetitive in the sense that, Father, faithful people, we gather around the Word every week, you know, multiple times a week, midweek services and things, and then are listening to it online or in our cars or at home. But Father, we always want you to know that we recognize by our spirit, man, that it is a precious time, that it is our help time, it is our answer time, it is our revelation time, it is our keep us safe time. And so, Father, help us tonight to get all that we need from Your Word. We don't take it lightly is what I'm trying to say. And Father, I ask that You'd give me the words to speak. I certainly don't take it lightly being up here, Father. It's an honor, it's a joy, but Lord, I don't want to just go through the motions. I'm not trying to prepare a good sermon. I want something that's going to change people's lives. And only Your unction, only Your utterance can do that. So thank You for the unction. Thank You for utterance. Thank You for boldness. Thank You for bullseyes being hit tonight. And we're changed and go to glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can go to John 8:32. John chapter 8 and verse 32. We're not going to do a whole lot of review. You know, you start getting into the third week of a series and you got to kind of pick and choose what you can review. But we'll do a little bit, things that are pertinent to picking up to go forward in this message. But in John chapter 8, in verse 32, Jesus said something very, I don't want to say alarming, because it's not something that has to be an alarm or scary, but it should shine a light on some things or highlight some things. And it says, Jesus said, if you know the truth, and you shall know the truth. He said, and the truth shall make you free. And so he says that the truth has the ability to make you free, but it's not just the truth on its own. It's the known truth that makes you free. And that's kind of like what I was just saying, right? That with the Word being a light, it reveals things. It shows us things, gives us our direction. And, you know, I was broke. I was depressed. I was sick a lot in body, sick in mind, sick in emotions, and just, you know, addicted to things, overtaken in life, and my finances were a mess. And here the whole time there was an answer called the Bible that had every single answer for every person's life, you know, that they could ever want. And it existed. And I went to church for years. I mean, that's why I used to love when the Bills would play as a kid, because we had season tickets from 1986 to 1996 when Jim Kelly retired. And I went to about every single game on Sunday and all the playoff games. The only thing my dad didn't take me to was the Super Bowl. And let me tell you, he heard about it. I was not happy about when he went to Minnesota, even though they got destroyed by the Redskins. But anyways, I went to Bills games. I couldn't wait to get out of church. You know, so excited about getting out of church as a young kid. It wasn't very alive. There wasn't very much help. But here I was in a place where they believed the Bible was God's word. They loved God. They believed in salvation, and they were heaven bound. But I came out of that church as a teenager and going into college and high school and high school and then college and things like that and all the other things I did in life, not knowing anything. Well, there was truth available, but I didn't know it. And so this series is titled The Dangers of Not Knowing. Well, why is it dangerous if you don't know? Because the only way you can get into some of these things is if you know them. And there's things we need to get into. There's things your family needs you to step into and to walk into. There's blessings that you're going to need in your body, health-wise, that you need to for your family's sake, for the body of Christ's sake, you need to experience this healing. But if you don't know about it, you can't get it. And so we're trying to highlight and focus on the fact that it's not okay to not know. It's not okay to stay ignorant on some things. We need to know some things. And so in John 8:32, just to kind of speed us up, to pick us up where we were last week to go forward, Jesus said you have to know the truth. And, you know, I know this, a lot of times Christians will make the statement, I know about healing, I know about prosperity, I know about this, I know about that. But Jesus said a true knowing would be showing up in your life in the form of freedom. You know, I know there's seasons of financial testing. I get it. And there's seasons that attacks on your body, and there's seasons attacks with people that are motivated and just against you and seems like it's stumbling block. I understand that. But that ought not to be the overcomer, the one with Christ on the inside of you, lifestyle. Right. And if that stuff becomes a lifestyle, well, when you're broke, you're not free. When you're sick, you're not free. When you're depressed and fearful and anxious, you're not free. And Jesus said, if you know the truth, you'll be free. And so if you'd say, Pastor Mike, it's been a lifestyle of these things. It's been, again, I'm not talking about the tests and trials that we're getting over. I'm talking about a lifestyle of, I'm always skimping by. I'm always just barely getting along. My body's always sick. I mean, you can pretty much mark it on a calendar. I'm going to be sick or, you know, depressed. Well, Jesus said what the reason is for it, is that you just don't know enough yet. And that's not to put you down or to make you feel bad about yourself. It should excite you because now you have an answer. Amen. Now you have an answer. Because he said knowing would make you free. But then if people say, you know, Pastor Mike, I know healing. I even know healing scriptures. I know prosperity. I mean, so many of us can quote Philippians 4:19 in our sleep, and you'd say, well, that's a prosperity scripture. I know that scripture. I can quote that. Or, you know, whatever, 1 Peter 2:24 there, it says, by his stripes you're healed. A lot of us can quote these kind of verses, but yet maybe that hasn't been the reality of our life. And so there must be something deeper than just knowing. Well, I know this. You can know somebody and know some things, and you can know about some things. And a lot of people, what we found out last week, and we'll just hit this real quick, is that you might know about healing. You might know about prosperity. You might know about peace and joy. But the way the Bible talks about the relationship that you must have with the Word for that knowing to translate into freedom, you might not be there yet. Amen. And so we looked at something. I should have thrown on some fancy glasses and tipped them down a little bit and maybe looked like this because we got real studious, you know, and we went to the Greek meaning of a word there. And when I do that, you know, I got to be careful because that stuff's a lot of that studious scholarly stuff is over my head. And you get too far over my head, I'm going to drown. And so I got to stay close to the surface there. But anyways, we got into it. And we saw in John 8:32, because again, it can't just be, well, I know Philippians 4:19, but prosperity's not taking place in my life. I know Isaiah 53 and verse 4 and 5 about by his stripes I'm healed, but yet these things aren't coming to pass, or whatever thing you're going through. That word know is the word in the Greek word genosko, is how and I don't know if it's how it's pronounced, but that's how it's spelled, genosko, that way. And that's the Greek word for the word know. And we drop back to Luke chapter 1 and verse 34, and we saw that it's more than just knowing about somebody, right? Your children are not here because you knew about somebody. That would be, now thank God God didn't set, make that the standard. I know about them. Oh, there comes a baby. Oh, I don't want to know anybody. I don't want to know anybody. No. Thank God. Hallelujah. But there's a difference there, isn't there? And in Luke 1:34, this is when the angel appeared to Mary and said, you're going to have a baby. His name's going to be Jesus. She's a teenage girl. She's not married. She's about ready to be married to Joseph. And she says, Mary said unto the angel, how can this be? You know, she knows that this is, I know what it takes, you know, to have a baby. She says, seeing I know not a man. Well, that word know is the exact same Greek word in John 8:32, genosko. And so now knowing what, without getting too deep with the young ears here, and I said this last week in South Dayton, I don't want to spoil so many of your conversations that you're just going to get to have, that it's going to be so joyful, you know, just so excited for that day. But anyways, knowing a man, well, we know, again, it's not knowing about a man that gets you a baby. It's knowing an intimate acquaintance. And the Bible talks about this way. You have to understand, you have to see things through God's eyes. In that process of knowing, like Mary's talking about here, and that word genosko, in God's eyes, when a husband and wife come together and know one another that way, God doesn't see two separate people. In fact, the Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And then Paul wrote about it in Ephesians, and he said, this is a great mystery, this two becoming one. He said, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. But we become one just the same way. When we become one with Jesus, we're not separate from him. We're raised with him. We're with Jesus. And so what it's talking about is becoming so acquainted with the word that just like when Mary would know a man, and she eventually did with Joseph, in God's eyes, when she knew that, God doesn't see in that moment a separate people, separate parties. He sees one unit. And so God is saying to us the revelation of knowing, and really it just is a faith thing. It's when that you become one with the word. And a lot of us, I think, we saw, and maybe light bulbs would go off, you know what? I know about prosperity, but I've not become one with prosperity. And I'll tell you what that looks like in a second. I know about healing, but I've not become one with healing. Or, you know, you're believing for a spouse. I know God says I can have that. Or you're believing for a baby. I know God says I can have that. Or whatever it is you need, but when you know that you know it, you've become one with it. And what does it mean when you become one with it? Well, we have Mary's example because she passed the test. In verse 38, after the angel told her, he said, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you and overshadow you. And then in verse 38, Mary said, now remember, here she's just told something that is absolutely naturally impossible. There's nothing on earth at that time or at this time, you know, barring medicine and different things that they can do that would make that possible outside, you know, God's ways of way he does things. And he says, Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. What was she saying? If that's what you say I am and is going to happen to me, then I know it's impossible, and I know it doesn't look good, and I know my feelings and my emotions are telling me that it can't happen, and if I were to tell anybody else, they would tell me how crazy I am. I know all that stuff is true in there, but because you said it, Father, if you said that I am going to be a virgin and have a child, that's who I am. And an angel counted that as faith, because we know Zacharias, John the Baptist's daddy, he had a little different reaction when he was told that his wife, Elizabeth, would have a child in her old age. And so when he called it doubt and unbelief, but why? Because he just didn't receive it. He couldn't, I don't understand, give me a sign or tell me how this is going to be. How can I know this is true? And Mary just said, all I need to know is that's what you said. And if we really are to examine ourselves, and if we really are to turn the magnifying glass on ourselves and say, are we in a place right now with the symptoms in our body where we're walking, talking, thinking, and our actions are of a healed person? I'm not saying you don't suffer the symptoms, and the symptoms aren't, I'm not saying deny them and they're not real. Don't misunderstand me. But where's your heart at? Where's your faith at? Where's your belief at? What about when our finances? Are you living and breathing as a fully, abundantly supplied person in your actions, your thoughts, your words? Or are you just so consumed with what your checkbook is saying, what the bills are saying, what the bottom line is saying? Well, that's what we can't be, and that's where a lot of people are. I know about prosperity, Pastor Mike. Yeah, but you haven't become one with prosperity. Until you're at a place where you know your prosperity, right? You know you're healed. Hallelujah. And so let me give you examples. You know, the Bible says that you're rich. He became poor so that you could become rich. And so many people say, well, I'm not rich. I'll prove it to you by my bank account. I'm not rich. Let me show you my purse. Let me show you my bills. I'm not rich. You've missed the whole thing. You missed the whole thing. Or, I'm not healed. The Bible says you, by His stripes, you are healed. Well, a lot of people aren't walking around with that healed mentality, aren't walking around that I'm the healed of the Lord. They're walking around what? Based on symptoms, based on circumstances, based on what they feel. And that's not the knowing that we need to know, because Mary, when she knew Him, become one, and God looks at it as one. When you become one with the Word, you are the healed of the Lord. You are the prosperous of the Lord. And so, and remember how God does things in Romans 4:17. He says, I calleth those things which naturally be not, as if they were. And what was the example He used? He said, Abram, your name is no longer that. It is now Abraham, meaning father of many nations. What's He saying? I am calling you old man, fatherless old man with Sarah. I am calling you a father. Do you see that? What was God doing? Because He is the Word. He was one with that Word. He knew that was the will. He knew that was the Word of God. So He said, that's who you are. You are Abraham. You are a father. And see, so many people don't ever cross that threshold of knowing about to the knowing where they become one with the Word, and they walk around in head knowledge and sense knowledge about things and wonder, I don't understand this. I can quote Philippians 4:18. Why am I still sick? I know all the healing scriptures, but have you become one with them? So that's what we want to get you to. And so tonight, in closing this series, how do we get to that place? Because there has to be a way to do it. Remember when Paul was on that ship, and he had warned them before they set off. He said, listen, I'm perceiving this isn't going to go very well. Our lives are going to be in danger. And sure enough, they didn't listen to him. They set out, you know, and it all happened. Things were being thrown overboard, and they thought they were going to lose their life. And remember, Paul sat them all down and said, listen, nobody's losing their life tonight. The ship might be, you know, other things might happen, but no lives are going to be lost. And remember what Paul said? He said, now, because remember, in the natural, it looked like everything was going to be lost. Paul said, there was an angel that stood by me this night saying that nobody's lives are going to be lost. And Paul said this, remember, he said, wherefore, sirs? Remember he said that? He said what? I believe what the Word was spoken. What's he saying? I'm becoming one with that Word. The natural saying this, but I'm telling you, I'm rescued. I'm victorious. Now, as I say that, I think, and can rabbit trail off into this, so many people, you know, when we had to shut down for 2 weeks for some reasons, and of course I told you to watch Pastor Michael's sermon, and hopefully you listened to me and did. If not, it'll help you if you do. But anyways, he explained all those things. So many people were so discouraged. Why are you discouraged? We already win. That's the thing, is that people don't already see themselves in the victory spot. We see ourselves behind because we take our cues from circumstances. We take our cues from feelings. We take our cues from thoughts or words from other people. No, we already are victorious. And see, why is that not a reality? We are already overcomers because people have not become one with that Word. They're one with their circumstances and situations, they haven't become one with that, and they never experienced that. And so how do we get to this place where we can be like Paul and all hell's breaking loose around us, but we can be just so convinced and sold out? There's a way to do that. Go to Romans 12 and verse 2. Now, I'll say this in this last message. What's amazing about this is this isn't anything we haven't heard over and over and over again. But what's interesting is the Holy Ghost likes to emphasize things over and over and over again because it just seems that's how we learn. Yeah. That's right. It was amazing. You know, Reverend Joel, I think it was one of the night meetings at the Miracle Crusades, preached out of Luke 6:38. I have heard Luke 6:38 for decades now, you know. And that night he preached that word, Luke 6:38, and something went off in me. Why? Just hearing and hearing and hearing. Because the word's ever alive. The word is ever powerful. It's miraculous. And so there's so much we can get from the word. You know, just because you climbed up one side of the mountain doesn't mean you've seen the whole mountain. There's still another side of the mountain. So a whole lot of the mountain you didn't see. And you might have climbed up Luke 6:38 a whole lot of ways, but there have you stepped foot on every piece of ground on Luke 6:38? Probably not, because the word is ever alive and eternal. And so Romans 12:2, a lot of this stuff is, you know why it comes up over and over again? Because God didn't give us a million and one things that we have to get right to be successful. There's a few principal things. The renewal of the mind, the putting down your body, you know, and sacrificing that, the things with the Holy Ghost, things with faith, and directions like that. Like, God didn't give us 250,000 things that we have to get before we can start being blessed. No, there's principal things. And one of those things that are so vital is in this scripture in Romans 12:2. It says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Notice he says, don't be conformed to the world. Now, in the context of what we're talking about tonight, or you could take it into this place, the world lives as is, if the checkbook says I'm broke, then I am broke. That's how the world does things. If my body and my doctor and the reports and my symptoms say that I'm sick, then I am sick. Right? Isn't that how the world does things? He says, because that's what people will say. Like, if they're sick, I think I'm sick, or I'm thinking about what's going on in my life. I'm poor, I'm broke, this and that. But he says, don't be conformed, or don't do things like the world does things. In fact, he says, to be transformed. Transformed from what? Broke to prosperous, sick to well, you know, depressed to joy, fearful to courage, you know, whatever it is you need. He says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It has to be renewed. But notice he says, if you'll renew your mind, that's where transformation comes from. Well, what could you say transformation from? Bondage to freedom. Just to let you know, it all ties together. Knowing the truth is no more than the renewing of the mind. Because when you renew your mind, you're thinking then new thoughts. And the new thoughts, the Bible says, translate into transformation. And so all this boils down to the knowing is the renewing of the mind when what? You're not thinking your thoughts, which are based off things you can see, things you can touch, things you hear, things that you experience in your life. You're not thinking I'm sick because the this, the that, and this. No, you're thinking what the word says, because that's the authority, right? Where you don't do what the world would say, I'm sick, I think I'm sick, because doctor's report, symptoms, this in my body, the hair, you know, heritage and things, genetics passed down line. No, don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed. Think a different way. Think like the word says. Well, the word calls you healed 24/7, 365. The word calls you prosperous that way. So he's telling you to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And so it's telling you, think like God thinks. Isn't that what God was trying to get through to Abraham by changing his name? Yeah. Stop thinking along the lines that you're a 100-year-old man. Stop thinking about your wrinkles. Stop thinking about your wife's wrinkles. Stop thinking about what biology and science say. Stop thinking about the medical community says. Stop thinking about your friends say. And just think how I say. That's what knowing is. Where you're thinking as a healed person, even when you're sick, when you're thinking as a prosperous person, even when the finances don't say, or a spouse or a baby, whatever it is, whatever it is. Wrong thinking will disqualify us. Why? Because the knowing the truth boils down to the renewal of the mind. And if you don't think right, If you don't think right, you will be disqualified. And how are we supposed to think? God told us how to think. Think his thoughts.
Yeah.
Think his thoughts. You know, when I was going through that 2 years of hell in my body, and I would rejoice on the walk, and I'd say, Father, I thank you that I'm the healed of the Lord. You said it in Jeremiah 30:17 that you'd restore health unto me, heal me of my wounds. You said in Isaiah, I'm healed. You said you'd heal my disease. Psalm 103 said Exodus 23:25, you'd take sickness away. You know, going through the gamut, just bringing it to him and praising him for that. It wasn't something that I had to convince. You know, when you get the renewal of the mind, you actually think like a healed person. Even though my body was saying a certain thing, my mind was so renewed that there was no option for anything else but healing. Because we don't want you to think you have to live a whole life of faking it. You might be faking it at first, you know, to get your mind wrapped around the stuff. But if you'll do what we're telling you tonight, you'll know the truth like Mary. Mary just simply, it was so casual, she said, be it unto me. Paul just said, wherefore, sirs, as it was spoken unto me, I believe it, you know, as it was said unto me, so be it. And so wrong thinking will disqualify. And I want to give you an example. I've used this example many times, but if you think of Peter and Judas, two people that were on the same track, had the same opportunities, and even when they failed, had the same opportunity for rescue.
Yeah, that's
right. Doesn't 1 John 1 and verse 9 say, if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of how much?
All
your unrighteousness. Well, was what Peter did unrighteous and considered all unrighteousness? Yes. Was what Judas did, it was different, but still falls into the category of all unrighteousness. Well, what am I saying to you? Forgiveness, and here they were around the word for 3.5 years. They saw forgiveness in action for the worst of the worst. People that violated the law, people that went so against God's ways and God's precepts and things, they went completely against it, but they saw God's mercy in action.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And so we know by being scholars of the Word and studying the Word that forgiveness was available to both of them. But it was available to Peter and it was available to Judas. But we know what happened. Peter went on, was forgiven, and rose to stardom in the body of Christ and tore up the devil's kingdom, miracles, signs, and wonders. And Judas ended up what? Taking his own life. And we don't hear from him ever again. The plan of God thwarted his life. Why? One could not think God's thoughts, or they could, but didn't, refused to, and thought their own thoughts of what? Condemnation. How could I do this to Jesus? I've been with him for 3.5 years. How terrible am I? Well, do you say the same thing about Peter? How could Peter do that to Jesus? One of the people he denied Jesus to was a little girl. He wouldn't even admit to a little girl that he knew this man. In Jesus' darkest hour, two of his disciples did awful things to him. One turned him in and one turned their back on him. I don't even know which one's worse. They're both wrong. Right? Turning your back on the Savior in his darkest hour to a little girl, wouldn't even admit you know him. Wow. And yet, Peter would have the same thoughts. How in the world could I do that? What's wrong with me? I'm a nobody. I could never. But he received what was offered to him, wrapped his mind around it, accepted the forgiveness, walked into the forgiveness, and moved on. All because he thought right. That's it. Peter knew the truth. He wasn't forgiven based on how he felt. He wasn't forgiven based on what he thought. He wasn't forgiven based on what it felt like or what he, you know, how the people would treat him or the circumstance. No, he was forgiven based on knowing what God had said, receiving what God had said, and just taking that as the final authority. And that's where we fail. That's where we fail. Now, if you look back to Mary, Mary did that, but Zacharias couldn't, right? He couldn't do it. The priest couldn't do it. He said, you're gonna have a baby. It's gonna be a son named John. He's gonna do this and that. This can't be. My wife's old. He couldn't receive. And what? It cost him. It disqualified him from some things for a while. Hallelujah. Now go with me to James 1 and verse 21. So we have to change our minds. It comes from our thinking. Transformation comes from our thinking. Well, what does this look like? James chapter 1 and verse 21. James 1 and verse 21. Again, this is no earth-shattering revelation that we've never heard. But if you're not, if you don't see yourself as a winner, as a victor, as a conqueror, more than a conqueror, as an overcomer, as a healed person, as a prosperous person, right, with favor dripping off of you, you don't see yourself that way, you are not where you're supposed to be. And thank God Pastor Mike Anderson's preaching this again.
Amen.
I'm just telling you the truth. Hallelujah. James 1 and verse 21 says this. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Look what the word's able to do. Save. That word save is the same word in Romans 10, 13. If you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved or sozo. You know what that word save means? It's a complete and whole salvation. Mind, body, emotions, finances, children, marriage, job, life, everything. It's a complete salvation. And he said this, receive with meekness which can save or rescue your soul. Now, this portion of Scripture is already written to people that are born again. If you go back to the beginning of James, he addresses this as brethren. And so they're already saved. They're already born again. Their spirits are already saved. We know this, that there's something different than the spirit and the soul. Remember in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul said this, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body. So your soul and your spirit, not the same thing. And in studying and look at some of these things, you can come to the conclusion and know that the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions of a person. And remember what Romans 12, 2 says, that the transformation starts in the mind. The mind needs to be rescued. The mind needs to be saved. Well, how do we save it? The Word is the only thing that can clean that up and fix that, praise God. So he's saying for our minds to get right, to think like healing, to think like prosperity, to think like whatever, to where we've become one with it, there needs to be receiving of the Word of God. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Do you see that? A receiving of the Word of God. Now go with me to 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. Maybe I meant 1 Peter. No, I didn't mean 1 Peter. Oh no, I'm confused now. It is 2 Peter 1 and verse 19. I shouldn't out myself like that until I know I'm messed up. I should just be like pretending I'm up here and like, that's good, Father. Wow, that's really good. And search around. Instead of letting you know, I had a little hiccup up here. But anyways. Now, how do we get there? How do we actually live naturally sick and sold out that we're healed? How does Mary, how could you get, because that's what we're trying to get to. Everything says no, but she says, yep, that's what I am. I'm going to be a pregnant virgin. Abraham walked across and said, yep, I'm going to be a father. I'm 100 years old and my wife's going to be pregnant. How do we get to that place? Well, here it is. We have a more sure word of prophecy wherein you do well. Here it is, that you take heed. You take heed unto it as a light that shines in a dark place until. So the Bible gives you instruction here. It says, you take the word. Remember, receive with meekness, so graft the word, save your souls. Okay, so what do? We keep receiving that word until what? When do we know when to stop? Well, you know, I'll get to that in a second. I'll mention that here in a second. But he tells you some instruction. He says, take heed unto it, like you would a light that shines in a dark place, until something happens. So it says, stay with it until the day dawns and the day star arises in your hearts. Now, that day star arising in your heart is likening to light being shone into darkness, where all of a sudden, see, the only thing that stands between you and your healing is light on your healing.
Yeah. Yeah.
The knowing, the renewal of the mind. The only thing that stands between you and your prosperity is the light that needs to come unto you, that light that needs to be revealed. Well, We know it can't just be, well, I know about that, I've heard about that. No, something has to happen where we know it, we become one with it. How can we actually become one with it? So much like Mary was one with that word, Abraham was one with that word, Paul was one with that word. How can we become one with it? You take heed unto it, like a light that shines in a dark place, until that light shines in your heart. And the only way I can explain it is till when all of a sudden you feel yourself step over into that place where no longer you're trying to get your healing, but you know, I'm healed.
Yeah, that's so good.
I can't tell you how grateful I was to have this revelation during those 2 years of hell. Because you talk about the thoughts. When doctors say no, and body says no, and food says no, and sleep says no, and there's no help for you, and it's, I mean, I'm a faith preacher, and it's going past a year. The thoughts that, well, this is getting used to your new life, something, you must be doing something wrong, this is never going to be fixed in your life. I'm so thankful that I had the revelation and the light of healing. I would have sunk so far into discouragement and despair. Same with financial things. I'm so thankful that I'm rich. I know I'm rich, not based on my bank account, based on His supply. Praise God. But how did those things happen? I gave heed unto the word like a light that shines in a dark place until the light took off in my heart. And all of a sudden, I realized, let me give you an example. When Pastor Michael said, you're not getting a salary, and I was facing $2,000 short a month, there was no excitement, there was no joy, there was worry, there was fear. Why? I didn't know enough yet. But then I did what the Bible says. I gave heed unto that word of prosperity and supply and abundance until I sensed the light go off. And all of a sudden, I wasn't grasping after prosperity. I was prosperity. Hallelujah. Now, look at what it says. I'm just going to read it in the Amplified. We don't have to pull it up. But it says, and we have the prophetic word made firmer still. You do well to pay close attention to it. Pay close attention to it. As to a lamp. Now, I'm just going to have to say this because this word came from my heart. You know why a lot of people will never get to this place? Distractions. Because this says for this to happen, you got to pay attention to this.
That's right.
Let's be honest, in our busy lives, we're paying attention to a lot of things, but are we paying attention to this?
Good.
See, people say, is it worth going through? I'll tell you, I can't afford or don't enjoy being sick. I don't enjoy being broke, and so I'm going to do what it takes to not be sick, and I'm going to do what it takes to not be broke, and I'm going to do what it takes to live in God's highest and best. Well, I have a responsibility. Just because God said it doesn't mean it's come to pass. I got to go through the channels. I got to get to the knowing. I got to do the renewal of the mind. You know, I was thinking about my friend Jonas, who's an Amish friend of mine, who does all the work around my house, and he completely renovated my office. And the house I live in now, it's a room above the garage, and the first... that was the room that sold me on the house because I had visions of what this office is going to look like and what I want to be and a place where I can go up there and get away and have God time, have quiet time, have rest and relaxation time. And it was this old 1970s decor up there. The walls were, the walls were actually, because it was an old teacher's house, the kind of walls where you can stick push pins into it and things, and I don't even know what that is, but it was, carpet was bad, the fireplace was ugly, I mean, it was just everything. And so when he had to come in to get that, he's got to tear that thing down, he's got to renew that, he's got to put time and effort in that. It didn't just happen overnight, right?
Yeah.
A lot of times we got to get rid of the wrong before we can start putting in the new.
Yeah.
And it took time and time and time and time of what? Paying attention to this. 8, 9, 10, 11 hours a day. There was one day, this is ridiculous, I didn't expect this out of him. I asked him, I picked him up at 4:30 in the morning. He did not have me bring him home until 7:30 at night. And I only saw him sit down for like 15 minutes. And he's worked the whole time. What? Just paying attention to it. Going after it. Why? To transform it. And it says that we have a more prophetic word, firmer still. You do well to pay close attention to it as a lamp shining in a dismal, squalid, and dark place. See, that's where you're at when you're going by circumstances. You're in the dark. Until the day breaks through the gloom and the morning star comes into being in your heart. But notice it says, pay close attention to it. Now, hop back to Joshua 1:8. You can't go this sermon without this verse. Joshua 1:8. You know, wouldn't it be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome to just want to be ripped. And then you get to be ripped because you wanted it.
Yes.
Go to bed one night and say, you know what? I want six-pack abs. I want all the lines. I want the definition. I want that. And you wake up in the morning and, man, I feel different. You go look in front of the mirror. There they are. Because I want it. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful to just get it because you want it? Or wouldn't it be wonderful, honestly, if there really was a magic pill? Right? If there's a magic pill to get you full of the muscles and the tone and the definition, I mean, wouldn't that be great? But the people that look the part are the truth tellers. Right? They're the ones that say, if you want to look like this, right? And of course, obviously, I'm pretending to be them. If you want to look like this, you're going to have to do what I did. And I didn't get this way because I wanted it. I didn't get this way because of some hocus pocus, fairy dust, magic pill, and all of a sudden I woke up, great muscle, great definition, great tone, look good and everything. No, no, no. I paid the price of eating right and exercising.
Right. Yeah.
We would all love a different route to get to there. I mean, let's be honest. Who sees a beach body and says, ugh? Gosh, I sure would hate if I looked like that.
Right?
Oh, I would hate if that. No, I mean. And so this is offered to you. Okay, well, there's a price that has to be paid to get there. And I would love to tell you, you want healing? Just go to bed wanting it tonight. Just go to bed wanting your prosperity. No, that's not how it works. If there was a different route, we'd love to tell you a different route. But Joshua 1:8 says this, the book of the law, that's that word. Didn't he say, receive with meekness the engrafted word to save your souls? Didn't he say, pay attention to the word and the day star will arise, the knowing will also, the revelation will be there. He said, this book of law shall depart out of your mouth. Here we go. Here's going to the gym. But you shalt meditate therein day and night, 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 day and night. Once a week? Nope. Once a month? Saturday nights for an hour? Nope. That doesn't qualify for day and night. This qualifies for night. He says, meditate in. What's that mean? To ponder, to mutter, to read it, to go over it. Day and night, that you may observe to do according to all is written. For then, and I'm going to throw this in there, and only then. Just like those trainers that you want to look like me, you want to have these muscles, there's only one way to get it. You got to put your time in the gym, and you got to put your time in the kitchen in the right way. It's the only way you can get it. It's the only way you can get it. Even people that take steroids still have to go to the gym. Still have to go to the gym to build the muscles. Still have to do that. But here's what he's saying. Meditate on the word. And then he says what? Prosperity and good success will be your result. Why? Because transformation will happen. The renewal of the mind will happen. If you'll stick with the word and meditate and receive it and meditate and receive it. Now I'm going to show you what that looks like. If I had a biology test and I'm in college and I have a biology test coming up. It's the only test I have coming up, and I have a test next Friday, a biology test next Friday. I am not spending all my free time of study time studying United States history.
Come on. That's right.
I'm not studying physics if I have a biology test. I'm not studying calculus if I have a biology test. No, I'm going to load up on that which I'm being tested the most. I'm not saying I don't touch the other things or get into other things. But the most, it's the same thing biblically. If you're going through sickness and disease, why are you studying Leviticus?
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm just going to read through the Psalms. Well, there's some Psalms in there that will be good for that, but that's not going to get you healed.
Right.
You need to take the word that God has said about healing to get revelation. Remember when Paul was preaching and he looked at the man and he said, I perceive the man has faith to be healed. I've known people. I've been this way before. Well, I've been strong in one area of faith, weak in another area of faith. You can have faith for finances and be be really weak when it comes to healing.
Yeah.
I remember talking to somebody that needed a procedure done, and I said, let's just believe God for it, because they didn't have the money. So let's just believe God for it. And I could tell their faith was not there. I mean, they were so weak on it. I said, okay, well, let's back up. I said, I know you don't have the money for this, but you definitely have faith in the dentist, in the doctors to be able to do what they need to do. It was a pretty big procedure. I said, do you have faith for the money? Oh, yeah, I can believe for the money, no problem. So, okay, let's do that then.
Yeah.
So my point is, you're going to have faith. So when Paul said, perceiving he had faith to be healed, Paul must have been preaching about healing, because you don't get healing faith preaching on finances.
That's right. That's right.
You don't get healing faith preaching on righteousness. Now, it's all the word. Don't misunderstand me. It'll bless you. But specifically, when you need to get the day, because some of you need the revelation on healing, you ought to be in healing. When I was going through condemnation, I wasn't in prosperity. No, I was in condemnation scriptures. When I was going through my financial test and trial, I wasn't in healing scriptures day in and day out. Why? I needed the revelation on finances. When I was going through the sickness, healing scriptures, faith scriptures all the time. And what do? You do it until you step over to that place. And I told you about my trials. Stepped over. Well, I got to a place. I was like, I don't care if I ever get a salary. I don't care if this ever ends. I'm excited. Let's go do another month. See what God's going to do this month. That's a person that knows that they know that they know their prosperity. And money has to come. Amen? To be on a walk in a year in the trial, there's still a year to go, and I would regularly preach the testimony of healing on the walk. That's a person that knows that they know that they know they're healed. And the only way it came was by putting in the time of what? Meditating on it, hearing it. Faith comes by hearing, meditating on it. Why? Prosperity and good success come from it. Because what's happening in that time is my mind's being renewed and the revelation's coming, and I then become John 8:32. I know the truth. I've then become one with the truth, and then the freedom comes. Amen. Amen? That's how you do it, ladies and gentlemen. That's how you do it. You're not healed when the symptoms go away in God's eyes. You're not rich when the money shows up. You're already that, but you need to become that. Look at Abraham. Go back and look at Abraham's journey before I close, just mention this. It started years before. And where Abraham was in Romans 4 was not where Abraham was in Genesis. What do you mean by that? I don't mean just the time from Genesis to, because, they're talking about the same time period. I'm talking about Abraham laughing at God and his wife laughing at the idea of having a child. If you're laughing at what God told you because you think it's ridiculous, you probably have not become one with it.
Right.
Or if you have, prosperity for me. You're just showing us the world that you don't know it. You haven't become, what I mean by knowing it, you haven't become one with it. Or what about Abraham saying, I don't know about this. You better go find me a younger gal. Where's Hagar at? Come on over. And they had Ishmael, right? Why? Simply because they didn't believe what God said. That's the only reason. But yet the Bible says in Romans 4 that Abraham, being not weak in faith, considered not his own body now dead, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, right? Fully convinced, staggered not the promise of God through unbelief, strong in faith, giving glory to God. Well, what are we saying? And what do you see God throughout the years doing to Abraham? You're a daddy. 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 What's Abraham constantly hearing? I'm a daddy. I'm a daddy. I'm a daddy. I'm a daddy. What's happening? His mind's being renewed. He's becoming one with that word to now he's giving glory to God as a 100-year-old man. I'm a dad. I'm a dad. I'm a dad. That needs to happen to you. I'm rich. I'm rich. I'm rich. Ha, 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 ha. Look at that money. That's funny. Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Oh, my symptoms tell me one thing. Ha, ha, ha. I am one with the word.
Yeah.
I am healed, praise God. And nothing's going to stop me from getting there. I am delivered. I am free. I am prosperous. That's what it is. How do you get there? Meditating on the word. Meditating on the word. Meditating on the word. Until you're walking, talking, healing, no matter what you buy. You don't even care what your symptoms say. You don't even care what the calendar says. You don't even care what the money says. But it takes work.
Yes.
It does.
Yeah.
And that's where, everyone's excited. The gym memberships go up in January. And they're busy. The gyms are always busy in January. It's like, I can't get on a piece of equipment. But then February comes and people realize, dang, just getting up early, this eating right, this working out, this is tough. It's a lot easier just to wake up and stop and get my donuts and lay around and kick my feet up. I have not, right? And that's what people do. I want my healing. Well, okay, put the time in. Put the time in. Until when? The day start. Until you know you are what the Word says you are. Amen? All right, I need to stop yapping now. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word tonight. We love the Word. Come on and love on Him for His Word. Let's be a church that loves Him. We love the Word tonight. We're thankful for the Word. We're going down the road of becoming so acquainted with the Word that we're one with it. We are who you say we are. We are not who our symptoms say we are. We are not who our circumstance. And yeah, I'll say this, and this will set someone free. You are not who your past says you are. Glory to God. You are not what your money says you are. Glory to God. You are not what a family member says you are. You are not what a coworker says you are. You are what the Word says you are. You need to adopt that as you're thinking, as you're living out of that. And you'll actually walk into it. The manifestation will come. Father, thank you. We worship you tonight. We praise and glorify you and magnify you. Thank you for helping us. Thank you that we're going to new levels. Praise God. Going to glory. New levels of glory in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed. I know that we all know one another. Everyone in here is born again, heaven bound. But there may be somebody watching right now or when we post this, on the archives, and you don't know how to get to heaven or you're not sure that you'd get to heaven. Well, I want to tell you how to get to heaven, and I want you to be sure that you're going there. And not because I'm a preacher and think I know everything or, religion taught me this. The Bible tells me exactly how to get there, and I thank God for it. I don't have to wonder what family members thought or what I think or what someone else thinks. What did God say about the subject? And He said to us that He sent His Son Jesus, that whosoever would just believe on Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And then Romans 10:9 is the outline for salvation. If you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so if you're watching, you could say, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure that I'm one of God's children. Well, I want to tell you, all you have to do is do the right thing with Jesus, which is confess Him, ask Him in your heart, and believe on Him. And if you're out there tonight and you say, Pastor, I want to be sure. I don't understand everything, but in my heart, I just believe Jesus was real. I know He is who you say He is, then you're qualified. Now the next thing to do is just to invite Him in. And so if you're watching, I just encourage you before you go to sleep tonight when this message ends, get alone with Him and just tell Him, just cry out to Him. Say, just pray a prayer like this. Father, I believe in Your Son Jesus. I believe He's real, and I believe He died and rose again for me, and I'm asking Him into my heart. I want to take Him as my Lord and Savior. I want to go to heaven. And if you'll do that, God is thrilled. That's why He gave Jesus for the world. He wants a huge family up there. And so if you prayed that, or if you need help with that, or you don't understand some things, please reach out. Call me, send me a text message, send me an email. I'll get right back to you. We just want to help you. God has so many good things for you. He loves you so much. He cares about you. He's got good things for every area of your life, and we want to help you walk into that. So can we stand to our feet real quick, and can we give God some praise tonight? From our hearts and just loving Him. And let's right now thank Him for maybe what's not in our lives, but if you're not rich, naturally, let's thank Him for that prosperity. Let's thank Him for that abundance that is yours. Let's thank Him for that favor that is yours. Let's thank Him for that healing that is yours. Let's thank Him for that turnaround that is yours. Thank Him for that victory that is already yours. Father, we receive it. We agree with You. We give You permission to do it, Father. We thank You we're healed. We thank You we're rich. We thank You we're full of favor. We thank You we're victorious. We thank You we're courageous. We thank You we're peaceful. We thank You for the turnaround. We thank You for the deliverance, Father, that's needed. We receive it all, Father. So be it unto us according to Your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before you leave, don't forget tomorrow morning in South Dayton, 9 o'clock, picnic to follow at 10. Love and appreciate you. We'll see you next Saturday at 6. You are dismissed. Praise God.